Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
What is up, everybody? Liam Murphy back with the one, the only Davis Maddock. Haven't talked to him on stream since our best ball drafts over the summer. Davis, how are you doing today, man?
You know, we're doing good. I think the first time we've ever done, you messaged me and you were like, you want to do DFS? And I was like, there's nothing I love more than knocking out two things at once. So our normal Thursday Sports Grid Fantasy Football DFS show, we're going to pull double time here. I'm excited because I bet you haven't looked at any data, no projections. You probably looked at the totals and you're just ready to spew. So that'll be it'll be an interesting juxtaposition of how we normally do the show, because normally I do it with Andrew, who is just like all data. All he looks at is the Sims and everything, and it'll be interesting.
Buddy, this may shock you, but I never look at the ownership. I don't subscribe to any tout sites. It's pure off my process is I listen to Swolecast because I love y'all guys, and I read Twitter and then lock the Bills and make our lineup. So at Chess Liam is my Twitter, at Davis Maddock is his. Find us both on Twitter there. Gonna start first half of the show. We're gonna run through the week 7 DFS slate. Back half of the show, we're going to talk through a couple things we got right for best ball so far, a couple things we got wrong, and any players we're leaving a candle on for. So let's jump into the slate. Before we do that, how's DFS been going for you, Davis? Had any sweats? Has it been rough in tournaments? Any like, do you feel like you're coming around? If so, talk us through.
No sweats really. I've had like a couple, like gotten the stack right, but gotten the one-offs wrong. Gotten the one-offs right, 3-3 in cash, which is just classic, you know, rake trading. So it's like I feel as if I kind of need to adjust process-wise, because I do think it is probably just bad to be like vacillating based on last week's results between like, oh, I'm playing, I'll jam, you know, Benjamin at 61%, but like this week, like I'm not going to be playing Josh Jacobs at 35% or whatever. So just still trying to kind of balance that stuff out, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I thought what Blender said. I listened to your guys' Gilcast. I thought what Blender said that one week where he's like, it's okay to eat chalk if you're doing it with like, you know, like just because a player goes off as chalk, like if you have a stack that no one else has, who cares? And like, so I try to play chalk I think is good, and I try to play chalk I think is not. Like, obviously, I'm not perfect, but I'm never like, I'm not just Xing out chalk because it's chalk. And like, I heard Ricky D on Lowell's talk about this. He said that like some, I don't know the top player he mentioned, but like that guy always eats chalk and is a very profitable winner long run.
Well, the thing is, and Brian talks about this too, is like, there's like what you and I are doing is basically astrology. I mean, you know, we're just guessing and kind of going with our gut and our feel, even if there is some data that goes into it. And these top players, these guys, I mean, they're not guessing at anything. They are, this is what this guy should be owned in this contest. If he is, and then even going further than that, this is what this guy should be owned. And then when this guy is appropriately owned, this is what I do. When this guy's inefficiently owned one way or the other, this is what my computer does. And like, obviously that's going to be a more profitable way to play.
I have it a good standing that Utical back-to-back Millie Maker actually watches my show, and that's a big part of his process. No, totally joking.
Yeah.
I almost had a sweat last week. Played a lot of Tyquan Thornton. Didn't have the pieces to work out with it. Jammed Josh Allen. That ended up working, but that didn't win. So the week before, wow,
shocking. You would jam Josh Allen. Doesn't seem like you.
I'm not fading Josh Allen when it's like there's no reason to. Like, I'm not just fading him to fade him. Like, I'll fade him in weather games. I'll fade him if there's like if they're playing the Broncos, maybe like a defense I actually respect. But I'm not just fading him just to fade him. Especially when like a lot of these math guys, they don't like Gabe Davis, who I do. Like these like target dudes, they don't like this dude who's attached to Josh Allen. The week before, almost took down the Millie. But yeah, after a rough couple of weeks in tournaments, turning it around, we'll see how this week goes. People asking about the boxing match, talked about this a lot on LOL. So check that out over on Brian's channel or Pete's channel. But yeah. Anyways, jumping into, we're going to go game by game, guys. Talk the over-unders and pieces we like, both for single entry and big field. First game on the slate is a divisional game, the Browns versus the Ravens. The Ravens are 6.5-point favorites with a 45.5 over under. So, Lamar, do we think he is going to be the most popular expensive quarterback? And are you going there?
Yeah, I probably won't play him. I will probably do a lot of Dak and a lot of Mahomes, maybe a little bit of Herbert. I like Herbert more if Keenan Allen doesn't play, because then you have Palmer and Everett and stuff who you can play with him, because it seems like Parham's not going to play. But I actually think this game could get super chalky if Mark Andrews does not play, because if he does not play, Isaiah Likely, I think, is 2,500. Back-to-back days of no practice for Mark Andrews. Likely's been running a lot of routes anyways, or running a lot of routes when he's on the field and has a high targets per route run. He's obviously super cheap. So I actually think that would make Lamar and Likely pretty popular together. I do also, with Bateman probably not playing, I actually do really like Devin Duvernay too at 4,500. They used him a lot 2 weeks ago. Then against the Giants, they didn't use him at all, but he was kind of in like a Debo-esque style role where they're running him out of the backfield. And yeah, I think at 4,500, he's one of the better value wide receivers. And then, I mean, your bring back with Cleveland is you just play Chubb or you play Cooper.
Yeah, simple. I mean, I like Mahomes over Lamar this week. Oh, shit, I hit my cable. I like Mahomes over Lamar this week. We'll get to that once we get to that game for why. I definitely like Cooper a lot. He's just seen a lot of targets. It's a secondary that you can beat. So I think he's a good play. If Andrews is out, that changes a lot. I also like Kelsey over Andrews this week, where last week I liked Andrews. Brissett, that's always a no for me. But Duvernay, this is a weird slate, because there's usually we have these like guys that are like 3,500 and below, and currently there's not many wide receivers sticking out like below 3,900, like Paris Campbell at 3,900. Yep. I'm seeing maybe you could convince yourself on like a Carolina guy or two, but like there's not many that wide receivers that are like cheap punt guys, so it's kind of interesting.
It's like Zay Jones at 4,400, Garrett Wilson at 4,500, Duvernay,
Alec Josh, Pierce.
One of the Detroit guys, maybe if Josh Reynolds and DJ Shark both don't play, you could talk yourself into Khalif Raymond or Tom Kennedy or Quintez Cephas, but that
MBS at 44. Yeah, like, there's some, yeah. But like everyone is, the point is like, you know, 3K versus 45, like that's a world's difference.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
I don't really, like, I almost never pay up for Chubb on DK, and I don't really think it's the best spot in the world. I'd rather play Brown's passing attack option. So Amari Cooper is definitely a guy I'll be playing quite a bit. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is a fine piece, where after a couple spotty weeks, he's had some solid yardage numbers at least. Has the speed to always break one deep. And yeah, Duvernay is one of my favorite cheap guys, where he's running a lot of routes. Like, it was kind of bizarre what happened last week. Maybe this Giants defense is just better than we think. And then, yeah, if Andrews is out, that's interesting. I'm not expecting that. And I think Njoku, you could always play too, but he needs to fall in the end zone like twice at 4,200, especially on a slate where you have like,
no, he doesn't. Six for 88 and a touchdown like he had against the Chargers is fine.
15 points is not winning you tournaments
with a touchdown, but also it's like, it's also very dependent on what other tight ends do. Like if 16 points could be the most points a tight end scores in this slate.
Yeah, I guess I'm just saying like on a slate with Kelce and Andrews and you have a good punt in Dulcich and I just don't feel it's hard to play these. Like I played a lot of Ertz last week in tournaments, but it's hard to play these guys unless they either get a couple touchdowns or reach the bonus, which he could. And so, yeah, I like the Browns passing attack numbers, which is not something I'd usually say. Any interest in either of these defenses?
No. I'm just playing whatever defense is not popular. I don't really think about defense at all until Sunday morning.
I've been hot with defenses. Every week I've been hitting a defense that does well.
Did you play the Panthers defense at 900% owned last week? You probably did.
Played the Bills and the Panthers last week. I thought the Cowboys defense, classic. I wanted to say this. I want to say the Cowboys defense the week before, I know they'd be chalky, but I thought it was way different chalk than the Bengals D.
No, because you're wrong. The RSQ between defensive projection and actual points is
that's for all defenses. But when you have literally one of the best defenses in football at 2,500 with the best pass rush against a terrible O-line, against a statue quarterback,
this is a 60
IQ. It's okay to IKB defense, man.
No, it's not. It's actually horrible and a losing thing long-term.
I'm not saying I always choose chalky ones. I choose the ones obviously the chalky ones this week are like the Jets and whatnot. And like, I like the Jets, but there's some other ones. Like I think the Falcons are interesting. But anyways, moving on to Tampa, Carolina, bit of a surprising line, I guess not. Like what else are you going to make the line? It's a 40 over under. So very low. The Bucs are 11 point favorites. If you remember last week, the Rams were 10 point favorites, I believe when I did my show. Yeah. I think CMC always is a pay up spot. Like I think he's interesting to get unique. It seems like PJ Walker likes to target him, but Sam Darnold might be back. Do we know who's going to be quarterback this week?
They said Walker is going to start this week. I mean, the thing with this game is the Buccaneers are just not throwing the ball as much as they need to. And they're not good enough and they're not interested enough in running up the score. Like I have no issue with these guys as one-offs, especially because Godwin shouldn't be that chalky this week. And Otten too with
you think Godwin's not going to be that owned at 6,300?
I mean, he'll be normal Godwin ownership, but he won't project as one of the five most owned players of the slate the way he did 2 weeks ago. And he was even still kind of chalky last week, but I would anticipate a more, you know, you turn the cards over and he's 13% or whatever, which is totally fine.
I believe I saw some discussions that the Panthers play their safety in the slot quite a bit. And so JC Horn, who's actually like a good corner, would probably be matched up on Mike Evans, and Godwin against a safety in the slot sounds pretty appealing. I think, I also think that Fournette and Godwin as like running back wide receiver pairings can always get there in DFS, especially on DK. And I'd much rather do Fournette and Godwin than someone like Fournette and Mike Evans, salary irrelevant, just because.
Yeah, because they need touchdowns.
Yeah, and Mike Evans can get those one-yard touchdowns passes. Yeah. So that like cucks Fournette. Any interest at Rashad White?
No. That's how you lose money, is by playing $5,200 guys who run 16 routes a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think in like a $20 million maker, it's okay. It would pretty much require a Fournette injury.
Sure. If you played Khalil Herbert the week that David Montgomery got injured and you're just from the future, then play him. Otten is the only other guy from this game worth
talking about. Otten is definitely interesting.
He ran a ton of routes the other game seven targets, two red zone targets. I mean, he'll probably be the guy that people are playing in cash, I would think.
Yeah, I jammed a lot of him that week. My
oh no, people are playing Dulcich in cash.
Yeah, that makes sense. Fournette, probably gonna be pretty popular, but like the one thing we haven't seen from the Bucks is if the Bucks do get out to a huge lead, what happens in the fourth quarter? Like, does White start? Like, do they rest Fournette and whatnot?
Yeah, but that's not enough. That's not an, like, or, yes.
That or exactly do they?
No,
but I don't know if that's true, because I think they haven't had that game, and especially off the like narrative of like Tom Brady going to the party and then they lose to Pittsburgh unexplicitly. Like,
Liam, you are going to run your account to zero so fast, bro. These are not things to consider.
I think the human element is totally a part of NFL.
The total of this game is 40.
With the Bucks 11-point favorites.
So that gives them a team total of what? 24, 25? I mean,
I think
they're not a good team for fantasy. They're the number one team in the NFL at running on first down, and they're 32 of 32 in success rate on first down runs. They're not a good fantasy team.
Do you think so? What do you think happened last week? Was that just Brady's done?
No, I think Brady's fine, but the offensive line is bad. Godwin's banged up. Evans is banged up. They just don't have as many good players as they've had in the past. And Brady just wants to win 10 games, get to the playoffs, and let it. Like, he's already accepted he's not winning MVP. He's not breaking any records. So let's just get to the playoffs.
Are you interested in Fournette, or is he too expensive, or do you just not play him ever?
No, I do play Fournette a lot. Doesn't feel like the best spot for him, although him at 10% compared to like Mixon, Jacobs. I mean, I could actually see myself playing Fournette in single entry this week.
Yeah, I think a Fournette Godwin mini makes sense. And I don't hate the Brady double, because Brady, like, just knowing this guy, if he has a chance to score a lot of points, he's going to do it, because they haven't. Especially when like the talk of town is like he's like done. So that's my human element take. Moving on to the Falcons, the surprising Falcons, 6-0 against the spread, over under a 47 with the Bengals 6.5-point favorites. Q tags on Chase and Higgins. I don't think that's anything to worry about. I really like Higgins at 6,400. I think wide receiver twos have been getting there a little bit more against Atlanta as well. And I think you can always play Mariota as a punt. I think he's been running the ball a little bit more with Patterson out. He has to get in the end zone.
His scramble rates are the same. He just scored a rushing touchdown last week, which is fine. I mean, 24 from him on a slate without Josh Allen, without Jalen Hurts, like 24, assuming that he brings along London or Pitts with him, probably can do it. I think the angle this week that's interesting is that we have Chase at, you know, roughly like 11% projected ownership. T looks like one of the most popular players of the slate. And then Mixon ownership is kind of fiddling around between 10 and 15% too. It's like,
I'm a never Mixoner. Didn't draft him at best ball, not drafting him at DFL.
I just don't ever like him at 15%. I would say probably if I was going to do this game, and I just wouldn't really, because the Falcons want to slow this game down so much. And the time to play Burrow doubles are when people are not playing Burrow doubles. Like when Joe Burrow might be 9%, Chase might be 20%, and Higgins might be 15%. That doesn't feel like the ideal spot to deploy them. Although you can't play Pitts in London, who absolutely no one wants to play.
I'd rather play Hayden Hurst against like a tight end funnel in Atlanta over Pitts. And I think the double I'd rather play is like Hurst and T Higgins over Chase, where there's like not that many elite wide receivers on the slate. It's just like Adams and Chase and then a bunch of the rest. I don't know. You can jam Chase, but after an explosion week, maybe not. And again, Atlanta hasn't exactly been destroyed by wide receiver ones. Eric asking me about to play Mariota. Man, I said you could play Mariota against the 49ers because they've been bad against rushing quarterbacks forever. He would have done fine last week. Obviously,
Liam is just new to touting. He doesn't know when to say not to play guys. He just wants to see the diamonds.
To be very clear, I'm talking about $20 millimaker fields. You know, so like if you're building lineups there and you're not playing some dudes like Mariota, I think that's wrong. Like Mariota can of course score two rushing touchdowns at 2% ownership. If you're talking about single entry, would I play him? Maybe not. Like I like Matt Ryan quite a bit at the same salary, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, you know. But obviously he needs to, like, you know what you're signing up for. He needs to get 60 yards plus on the ground and run into or be really efficient like he was last week.
Correct.
Moving on to Detroit-Dallas, a very interesting game. Yeah, where
this is a good DFS game.
49.5 over and under. Cowboys are 7-point favorites. I think Amon-Ra was clearly not healthy against the Patriots, so he is back.
Yeah, he only ran like 17 routes.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be too popular. I think I'm really interested in playing a lot of Amon-Ra this week. I'm interested in playing some Zeke, who should be good leverage off of what I assume will be Josh Jacobs and Kenneth Walker chalk. In a game where they could front run, you know, like against a terrible Detroit defense, which is letting up just a ton of yards on the ground. They're like 32nd against running back. So I think there's worse plays than Zeke. You need to get probably like 2 touchdowns or for him to reach the bonus and get a bunch of passes for it to work. I like Michael Gallup. I like CeeDee Lamb. I like Dak, but he's not, it's not my favorite on slate. I'm not playing Goff.
I just think CD is going to be so popular.
And I think that's fine, but Detroit has one good corner, that Jeff Okuda. Yeah, I don't think he, like, CD's in the slot though, so I don't think he matches up with the slot, right?
CD will move around with Gallup back. He's not gonna just stick in one spot.
Yeah, so maybe that actually hurts Gallup a little bit if Jeff Okuda is doing that. Dalton Schultz, is he healthy?
No. He apparently re-injured this knee walking, so that's why he was a surprise inactive last week. I mean, he'll probably play here because he came back to practice, but I can't imagine that I would want to play him in DFS.
Yeah, very disappointing for my best ball portfolio that he's been hurt. Never like when you hear it where he appears to be healthy enough to give it a go. That is not exactly.
No, that is literally the last thing you want to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. I also think DeAndre Swift is one of my favorite running back pivots on the slate, where Josh Jacobs at 6,500 is going to draw a ton of ownership. DeAndre Swift is clearly one of the most talented backs in the league against Dallas's fierce pass rush. I could definitely see Swift being like if you're the Lions, you're probably telling yourself, throw the ball to Amon-Ra and ride Swift, like, is our only chance to upset this game. Any thoughts on the Swift call?
I don't hate that. I mean, I do think that people are going to end up playing these dusty Detroit wide receivers, Khalif Raymond, Tom Kennedy, Quintez Cephas, because I think Reynolds and Shark are both going to be out.
I haven't
started to build any tournament lineups yet, but I can honestly totally see it.
Yeah, no, I think the field could do it. I just don't think I'm going to do it. But maybe on a slate where it's like hard to find salary relief, it happens. What about Zeke? Any interest there in like the Millie Maker type fields at 6K? He's expensive, but he's got to be like 4% or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I get the theory. I won't play any of them. I'd rather play like chalk Kenneth Walker, but.
Well, he's massive leverage off of CD chalk too, if CD is.
That's true. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not the worst play of all time, but I also don't think it's like a particularly good play.
And I think with the Lions, just because they, like, when Swift and Amon-Ra are fully healthy, like, we're going to want to look at the Swift practice reports, but you can totally play Swift and Amon-Ra on a same team together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they just get so much of the work. And obviously the Cowboys D is very expensive, but if you can make it work, go crazy. Giants, Jaguars, the no respected Giants. They are 3-point dogs to the Jaguars on the road.
Does your homerism for the Bills translate to the Giants because they become like the Bills South?
No, not at all. I've like picked against them every week in the Pick'em show I do.
I think the only playable players from this game are Barkley, Kirk, Wandale and Zay Jones.
Wandale definitely playable, probably gonna be pretty popular. But like, you know, 4,500, like old DK would have had him at like 3,500.
Yeah, right? I know.
Like he catches one touchdown on four targets on a very low passing volume team and goes from 36 to 45. Kirk always in play. I think ETN in like Millie Maker type fields is interesting where he's got to get in the end zone eventually here, man. I played him last week. He was like 1%. He got a wildcat snap. Teams are running the ball against the Jaguars. A wildcat snap in the end zone where he was stuffed. And Daniel Jones at 51, there's worse plays out there, I think. I think that's fine. He just needs to get there on the ground. And then Bellinger, like is he just like the pass catcher too on this team? It's not high volume, but has some okay box scores. Evan Engram too, especially like last week, Marvin Jones was ruled out. Don't know if he's playing right now. I played a lot of Slayton last week. It didn't work. Tony, dude, if he's in, I'll play him, but I don't.
Yeah, if whenever Kadarius Tony returns, I don't think it'll be this week, but whenever he does play, I will play the shit out of him.
The Chiefs need to trade for him, man. That would be
the Chiefs are going to sign Odell.
Von Miller said Odell to the Bills is a lock, which doesn't make sense to me, but
they already have too many wide receivers. Odell doesn't even do it. I'm not talking about the Bills with you, but he doesn't even do what they need him.
Well, yes and no. Like if Davis or Diggs got hurt, not having Odell would be like, goddamn, like did we just blow the Super Bowl because of that? You know, like he's just insurance. I agree with you. Like it doesn't make sense to me. Moving on to an interesting game. Oh, by the way, both defenses I think are in play. Like the Jaguars D has pass rush pieces.
Jaguars D, if the Jaguars can get up 14 points on the Giants, they'll win the slate.
Yeah, I mean, like is there like star pass rusher hitting like the rookie wall? Like it makes no sense why they got nothing going against.
I'm too mad about, because I played the Jaguars are my favorite D last week. I can't even talk about them not getting there against Matt Ryan, but it's a good transition to our next game. Cause I think Titans Colts is the lead candidate of this slate to be like, no one played Tannehill. No one played Ryan. No one played Pittman. No one played Woods. No one played anyone from this game. And then all of a sudden it's the witching hour on red zone. And it's 38-35, and Alec Pierce just caught his second deep touchdown, and you're like, what the shit just happened?
This is a game where I love the Indianapolis pass pieces, and I like the Titans D. I'm confident one of those things is going right. Paris Campbell had the like same amount of snaps at like he was like just like the clear wide receiver too. Like Pierce wasn't even on the field that much last week. Saw 11 targets. What is this like a blip? Like he's one of the better values on the slate at 3,900.
It's totally a blip from 58 passing attempts because they didn't have Jonathan Taylor or Nyheim Hines. And they basically like two drives through the game were just like, oh, this isn't going to work. Like we just got to like we can't run the ball. So we got to just do this. And I mean, Ryan specifically said, I can't remember if it was yesterday or Tuesday, but he was like, I can't do that again. I mean, like physically, he cannot throw 58 times in a game again. I mean, imagine if he would have taken two sacks in that game, him trying to get through that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested in Ryan for the salary relief, but it would not be surprised if this is like a comeback down to earth type game. We see this a lot in football where the second divisional game is like at the first one's a little bit high scoring. The second one is sometimes not because teams make adjustments.
Did you read a book about sports betting from like 1980 or something? Like this,
that's just my takes, man. I don't know.
You're literally like the pregame like NFL on Fox viewer right now telling me about how the second divisional game goes under the total or something.
I mean, that happens a lot, right? Like it's a bit anecdotal, but that's what happens. What pieces are you interested on the Tennessee side? And what's your read on is Taylor playing? Because if not, obviously Deion Jackson.
Taylor's going to play. I mean, he already returned to practice last week. He's already gotten in two full practices this week. Taylor and Henry are both probably good plays at like 5% or whatever, especially if this game gets any steam. And Robert Woods also, I mean, he just is the top wide receiver on the team. He's got a 22% target share.
Yeah, but it's like the volume is like 8-4.
It's horrible. It's horrible. But we're talking about what happens if this game does go with the heavy passes. And Pittman's fine too. Pittman has kind of actually changed his game to being like he has got an A dot of like 4.5. It's very obnoxious, but it's actually kind of good for him on DK because like at least the volume is a little. It's like the opposite of Olave, basically.
Yeah. So do we think like what happened? Is the Pittman we saw last week Pittman, or like what happened in this Tennessee game week 4? Like, was that just that? Is that the game JT got hurt midway?
I don't even remember that game. It must have made absolutely zero impact on me.
Yeah, he went 6 targets, 3 catches, 31 yards. So, I'm really interested in Pierce. He's not actually like on the field that much, but he's like running enough routes and just as athletic and like can get there. Went 4 for 80 last time. Again, the Titans D, one of my favorite D's on the slate. And I wouldn't be surprised if Deion Jackson earned a little bit more.
I actually agree with that. I think he's probably earned himself like 2 carries and a target per game or something like that. And kind of like the Mike Boone pre-Melvin Gordon benching Javonte Williams injury role where he just was showing up like 8 snaps a game. And you're like, why is Mike Boone in there?
Yeah, I mean, I would just be shocked if the Colts were like, okay, we JT off injury, we just have to ride him only. Like, I think they would be like, everyone's doing a committee pretty much in the NFL. And so Deion, I think, could maybe take some away from Taylor. But if the field thinks that, Taylor's a good play. Green Bay at Washington. This has some of the pieces I like this game. This is a...
You would be a Taylor Heinicke truther.
No, not Heinicke. I like the Green Bay side. This is a 41 over under. Packers only 4.5-point favorites. Aaron Rodgers, 6K. The Aaron Rodgers doubles is probably going to be pretty low owned. However, Cobb is really out. And so I guess that's going to make Dubs really popular. And
he won't be 5,000 is people will play Wandale instead.
Well, I like Dubs over Wandale straight up in that case. And I'd like Lazard at 6,100 quite a bit. I just think this could be the game that Aaron Rodgers pours it in. And like, what's kind of interesting is if you look at, like, I was doing some prop picks on Underdog, the Dubs versus Lazard, like over under yards is like the same number.
Dobbs is better.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm interested in Lazard, too. Like, I know you hate Lazard's part of the brand, but, like...
Yeah.
I mean, the dude has a touchdown in 4 games. Like, he's clearly... Rodgers is trying to make him a thing. This is a get-right spot a little bit. Aaron Jones is egregiously priced. Like, why is this dude 7,600 looking at what he's done?
Look at that 35-pointer against Chicago. That's
week 2, man. Like... 10, 35, 6,
I think,
7,
I think,
10,
I think 7. That Aaron Jones, if he's going to be 2% in these slates, is probably continues to be a good play.
AJ Dillon's going to be 2% though. And like,
and is useless. I mean, just a useless football player.
6 targets. Yeah. I know he's letting you down, but,
I was so hyped for him after week 1 and the thing to me is like, even more than that, it's like, he just never has a successful play. Like every time they give him the ball, something bad happens.
Yeah, man, this Green Bay team, like, if they don't, they just, this is like a must-win game for them.
Yeah, they just suck.
I would not be chasing Brian Robinson. Like, the coaches even came out and they were like, we should have played Gibson more.
No, the only Washington football team player who is playable in daily fantasy sports is Samuel.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel, he could have had a big game if he held on to that touchdown against the Bears. Definitely not going to be playing Scary Terry, but... From this game, I like Dubs. I also don't think you should chase the Tunyon.
No, it was because of the in-game Cobb stuff, and they'll have a whole week to adjust for not having Cobb. I'm with you.
Yeah, and I think the in-game adjustments is Dubs. Like, isn't there a possibility both Watkins and Watson come off IR? Or...
Watson, I think, should be active.
3,300. He's the only salary relief on the slate then. That's like Tyquan Thornton. You just need an end around and a big slot, you know?
Yeah. I don't hate that.
Yeah, Millie Maker Fields definitely interested in Watson.
I could play if Watson is active and Watkins is not back. I could play Watson in single entry, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question to ask yourself is like, would you rather save salary with 3,300 Watson or like 2,500 Dulcich? And you'll just have to think through like who hits a bigger.
Dulcich is just going to be chalk.
Sure, but like that by itself doesn't matter. I don't like eating cheap chalk at a tight end on a high variance position, but
sure.
I mean, let's jump right into that game. Oh, and defense on that. Chase Young might play. That makes the Commanders a little bit more interesting against a disastrous Packers team. And the Packers D is just expensive, but I mean, I would rather the Packers be facing Wentz if I'm going to be playing the defense, not Heineke. Jets Broncos, two of the best corners in football. My take is Sauce Gardner has been locking down wide receiver ones, which makes like Sutton unplayable almost, but makes Judy interesting. Obviously, Dulcich is going to be chalky. Like, do you think we're in a bubble with Dulcich, or do you think the field is going to be hyped up on him?
No, Dulcich was on the showdown slate. He was way more owned.
He was 12%. That was like all these fucking people on Twitter, though. Like, is that like a bubble, do you think?
But those are the same people playing in these contests with us. And every site has him projected as a huge value.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. Rusk was brutal at, like, he was, like, open, like, five times on just, like, little dump-offs. And, like, Rusk can't see over the O-line. Do we think Russ is playing?
That's what I think the line got pulled. Let me check
right now. It is still the same as what I'm seeing. It's 38.5 over-under. Jets plus one on the road.
I think the only guys I'm playing in this game are Dulcich and Breece Hall.
Breece Hall I like. Dulcich I like. Jets D going to be very popular.
Pinnacle has that pulled, which would indicate to me that maybe they have some information that Russ is considering not playing this week.
I'm looking at DK Sportsbook, so I trust you there. Zach Wilson, unplayable. Every pass game weapon on the Jets, unplayable. But yeah, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? If Sauce Gardner, Sutton shutting down Sutton, and like, who's even the backup for Russ?
Brett Rypien.
Who is this dude? This is not even a name I know.
He went to Boise State. He can move. He can move a little bit. You'll probably watch him throw like two frozen ropes and be like, hey, this guy can play a little bit. 5,000. He runs a little bit.
Maybe helps Dulcich more, man.
No, I mean, shit, maybe. I don't know. He probably is better at completing short passes than Russ is. There's just no one. I mean, this game is a total of 38. I'm not playing any of these guys.
KJ Hamler, at least once this season, will have like 100 yards and a touchdown. But strictly...
It ain't going to be here, bro.
Yeah, probably not. Judy is the guy who, like, he's like wide open a lot. It's just he's brutal from... pretty much a stay away, though. Are you going to be eating any of the Jets D chalk or no? What do you got on ownership for them right now?
Let's see here. Right now, we have the Washington football team at 2,500 as this week's mega chalk defense. We don't have the Jets as super chalky.
Really? Well, the Jets D is definitely my favorite D on the slate. The other D I like is...
Well, if Rypien starts, that'll change, and the Jets will be mega chalk.
I want Russ starting. I want Russ starting for the Jets D, so it's not that chalky. The other D I like somewhat is the Falcons, where people just think the Falcons D is worse than it is, and like they've done fine. Sure. Moving on to a game in the Dome, the... Raiders are only 6.5-point favorites against the Texans with a 46 over-under. Josh Jacobs going to be super chalk. I think he's good chalk personally. I don't think he's going to score 30, but like, I don't know. I see 20 in the outcome a ton where you can still win tournaments with like 20 plus a ton of times like that. Brandon Cooks, I think, was like sat out for a game. Like there was rumors they might even be trying to trade him.
Yeah, coach's decision, no practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, like it wouldn't shock me if he ends up on the Chiefs. The Davante Adams with the, you know, I don't think he'll be too popular. Maybe he will because he's like one of the only elite wide receivers on the slate.
No, he is an extremely good play. So is Foster Moreau, assuming Waller doesn't play.
Probably is not playing.
Yeah, hamstring injury, not back. I mean, Moreau's like leverage on Jacobs. He's leverage on Dulcich. He's leverage on, Moreau is just like a smash to me.
I think he'll be pretty popular though if we
Dulcich will project better, I think.
If we get the news like Sunday morning, then he'll be very unpopular, just like Kate Otten was. But if we get that news like Friday or whatnot, what are you doing out there? You making things with your Mr. Fix-It?
No, my wife is vacuuming upstairs.
Okay. Damian Pierce, probably not going to be as popular. Or like, I don't know. Does the field love this guy or not? Because he's obviously a fine play.
I think they like him. Like, I think he'll be like 10%. But, I mean, 10% compared to Jacobs, 30, 40% looks like massive leverage to me. I love him this week. Probably my favorite running back play.
He's a good play. And then Hunter Renfro, and I want to say Hunter Renfro and Nico Collins, especially. I'm somewhat interested in Nico for salary relief. And I don't know, definitely worse plays than Hunter Renfro at 4,900. He just needs to get some touchdowns. And if Waller's ruled out, maybe it is the Renfro show again and not the Moreau. Maybe they like don't go to Dusty Moreau, you know?
It could be. I don't know. I mean, this game is also like another one of these spots, right? Where it's just not going to be that high scoring. We're not going to see Derek Carr dropping back 45 times. Like probably only one Raiders pass catcher gets there.
Well, scoring's down and there's like almost no high totals this week. Texans D, I think, is also interesting. You could always play Ds against statue quarterbacks like Carr. And I don't think I'll be playing Carr in tourneys unless I'm playing Adams teams. And I don't think I'd double that. Another interesting game in the Dome is the Seahawks at the Chargers. This is a highest total on the slate, 50.5. Chargers have been bet down to -5. They were -6 last night when I did my pick'em show. I think part of the Herbert woes have been the lack of Keenan Allen. And if Keenan Allen's back, like I think he almost needs him to be fixed. And I think
he said he's not playing. Keenan said he's thinking about taking another week off because they have their bye the week after, so he'd get another week off.
I also think that Eckler with Keenan is not as good a play. Like clearly Eckler's getting way more targets, where if Keenan's back in, I'm less interested in Eckler, but without him, obviously he's a good play. I think you could just build like a Herbert Eckler Williams team. I really like Kenneth Walker. I thought he was going to be super chalky because he's like very cheap.
No, because they're road dogs, but I'm totally with you. Walker and Pierce are the jams to me this week.
Yeah, I said on my show last week I thought Walker was better chalk than Eno because Walker, I know, is a physical specimen. And like Eno, we just needed like the passes pretty much. And like Walker's like an actual NFL.
Well, Eno's pretty good too.
Eno's small, dude. Like he's a scat back type guy. I mean,
lots of NFL running backs are smaller than you'd think.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, that's just what I thought. And Walker played more than I think people thought. So I'm building a lot of Walker teams. You could totally build Eckler versus Walker teams too. Like they can both get there.
There's an interesting thing going on with the Chargers though. Like apparently Palmer and Parham both had head injuries last week and then kept playing, but they both showed up. So, I mean, the Chargers could be down Keenan, Palmer and Parham, which like means there's just a bunch of min price freaking guys on
well
the Chargers.
And I will say I was watching that game and I was like, who the fuck is Michael Bandy? And so apparently what happened was Palmer got hit in the head and then Michael Bandy was on the field. And not only did he catch a ball, but his like target was like 40 yards down the field, like in the end zone. And so if Palmer's out, it looks like the Chargers told us Michael Bandy is going to be replacing him. Again, he got like a 40-yard, like first drive of the game, he got a 40-yard target down the game. So he's the salary relief we're looking for, and I doubt the field is.
I probably would not play very much of him, to be honest. I mean,
and Billy Maker Fields, like I don't think any, like you had to be watching that game to know that.
You played Jalen Guyton a ton. No, I mean that's totally a misnomer. Like people just are gonna let the projections.
Guyton's on IR,
score.
My friend.
I know. So have you like no one ever wanted to play Jalen Guyton in this spot?
Oh yeah, okay, I see what you're saying. Whoa, that was, I mean, if Keenan is out and Palmer's out, you know, like, I think Big Mike is one of, I really like him this week too. Where he was shut down by Patrick Surtain last week, but I would expect a little squeaky wheel and whatnot to get there. So I like Williams, Walker minis. Herbert's too cheap if he's Herbert, dude, but he's got this rib injury. He seems to be missing Keaton. I mean, faced a tough defense in Denver, now gets this terrible defense in Jacksonville. I don't know. I'm not going to be playing any of these Seattle pass catchers probably. If you were playing Metcalf or Lockett. I mean, Lockett.
I would play Metcalf because Lockett is just going to be chalk again.
Yeah. I didn't play any of those guys last week in tournaments. But, I mean, I guess he's got a hamstring injury. Maybe that pulls it down. And then Everett against a tight end funnel. He's expensive for what he is. I also like Noah Fant won me a milli last year against the Chargers. So definitely worst plays in the world. We saw Dulcich go uncovered for a touchdown. Looks like he has an illness, but looks like he usurped Will Dissey a little bit.
I'm not that certain about that. If he did, I think it was just a 1 week weird thing. Cause they couldn't get the wide receivers open.
I mean, they need to get the more athletic dude on the field in Noah Fant. Like, and I like the Chargers like benched JC Jackson for part of that game. It was weird.
He's been horrible.
Yeah. Big free agent signing for them. Been bad. What do you feel like Herbert at 72, one of your second favorite quarterbacks on the slate, or
I think Mahomes and Lamar are just so clearly the best plays. Herbert, I could play. Herbert, I could play.
Mahomes, Herbert, Lamar for me this week.
Yeah, if Parham's out, you do a little Palmer, you do a little Everett, Eckler, you got your bring back with Metcalf. Pretty easy. I like that.
I would just play Eckler and Big Mike and not screw around with these. Or maybe Everett.
I like getting tight ends correlated with the stacks because it's the worst position in fantasy, and then obviously it just like works out.
Yeah. This next game is my favorite game on the slate, and it's a shocking total. I don't understand this at all. I think this is wrong. It's the Chiefs -2.5 on the road against the Niners with a 48.5 over under. If we look at the teams that the 49ers have played, man, they played the Bears in a monsoon. They played Geno Smith. They played Russell Wilson. They played a cooked like Matt Ryan or Matt Stafford, who has like a terrible O-line. And the Chiefs have a great O-line. They played the Panthers. They played the Falcons. So like this defense on paper looks good.
They've sustained a bunch of injuries too.
And this defense is not the Bills, is the point I'm trying to make. And so I think this is like reactions to the Chiefs losing last week and like, oh, the Bills had a good defense. The 49ers do too. My other take is that for a long time now, 49ers D has been eviscerated on the ground by guys who can run. The Bills do this weird thing where they drop Matt Milano as like a spy to stop that. Matt, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to get going on the ground too this week where he can run.
No, he only runs. He only runs in big games. This isn't a big game.
Well, a 2.5-point line, I would say it's a pretty big game. Like we don't think it that way. It's the same line that they were a dog to the Bills. So clearly the Vegas disagrees. So I think Travis Kelce, I definitely like over Andrews. I wish Andrews was not injured. Pat Mahomes, my favorite quarterback on the slate. Slot wide receivers sometimes get there against the 49ers. I mean, the Juju Smith-Schuster thing, like he is the slot, but he also like – Dude, his like touchdown, three dudes bounced off him. It was insane. I think MBS at 4,400 is interesting. I guess Hardman. Who's the bring back you would bring on the 49ers?
Debo.
Debo? Yeah, I like
Debo. Debo is expensive, Kittle. Man. They're all Debo, Ayuk, Kittle. Those are your three guys. Rotate around them. I'll probably do a little bit of each. They all seem good. It's just a matter of the touchdown variance. But you think Jimmy should get to like 35 passing attempts here? If your Kansas City part of your stack is doing well, I mean, I think MVS and Juju are both fine stacks. Like, it just feels like Mahomes, two of the 6K running backs, one expensive wide receiver, Juju, Kelsey, Ayuk is like, that's just a great team.
Yeah, I'll be playing a lot of Mahomes and Kelsey teams. I'll probably build some Juju and MVS teams too. MVS has been brutal in getting open against like single coverage, but he's going to have a game eventually here, man.
I mean, he had two touchdowns on the first drive against the Bills.
I've heard you say this a lot. He wasn't even in on that first one.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't. He was down at the one.
Liam, you gotta. I can see how you'd miss that. You have to watch the game to understand. You know, if you weren't watching the game.
That's laughable, friend. I watch the damn games.
Some of the latent information you pick up watching the games.
All right, guys. Well, before we jump into the best ball content, at Davis Maddock on Twitter, at Chess Liam on Twitter, hit a like button, hit a subscribe button, go crazy, guys. Have a great weekend. Good luck. Let us know what you think in the comments. Davis and I definitely don't agree on every take, which. I think makes good content and is
yeah. I think it makes for good content
and is fun. All right, so let's remove. Oh, let's do two things. One is I want to build before we jump into best ball. I want to build a Millie Maker team with you for Sunday.
Okay.
I think we're both in agreement that, and you have 50% equity on this free roll. Wow. Do we want to both start with Mahomes and Kelsey?
Let's do it.
Okay. What do you want to play the Jets D since it's not that popular and I like them a lot and I'm the defense whisperer?
Let's do Debo as our bring back.
Okay, I like Debo. And then we both liked Kenneth Walker, the third, and hopefully the field's just like not hip to that yet. I'd be surprised, but
yeah, and let's do Brees. Let's do Brees.
I like Brees too. So we have 4K in salary, so we need some relief.
Okay. Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Okay, we'll throw him in our flex, but I'll do that after. Do we want to do like Paris Campbell? He's 3,900.
Let's see. What else do we have for cheap wide receivers? Because that's what we need. We need like a $3,400 wide receiver.
That's the thing. Sky Moore. I would be okay like just predicting the Sky Moore game happens for the Millie Maker. Like eventually he's gotta see the field more.
We could do Sky instead of MVS. That's fine.
Okay, so we play Sky at 0% ownership. And then
we probably need to do Ayuk instead of Debo to make this work, actually.
Okay, well then we could come off Sky. So we'll do Ayuk.
Ayuk, Valdes-Scantling.
MBS. And then we could just play like all the guys. Like we could play Duvernay too.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
And we can play Wandale if we wanted.
Boom.
How popular do you think Wandale is? But he should like if he is not, chalk, that is bad chalk.
I don't think he'll be that chalk because the projections won't like him that much. And there should be if these Detroit wide receivers enter into the value conversation. We got Corey Davis there. You know, there are guys. Alec Pierce.
I like Alec Pierce more than Wandale. Sure. Would you rather play Pierce or Wandale?
Yeah, he's got way higher ceiling, I think.
Okay, cool. So we'll throw MBS in the flex and Pierce here. I've probably built a team just like this already. So I'm a degen and build throughout the week. All right, guys, don't dupe us on this. Like, we're not
please
trying to
don't split. Please don't dupe us, bro.
Let's get you full screen there to tell the people don't dupe us.
Please don't dupe us, bro.
The awkward pause, man, killed me there. I like this team, man. I'll probably throw it in a high stake one too. Why not?
That's actually unironically a good plus EV team, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we just like what we're like. Let's something I like to do this too is like, okay, so we need like 35 from Mahomes, probably like 25 each, so that's like 85. Let's say 25 from a Uke, that's like 110. Probably like 20 each from these guys, that's 150. 30 from Kelce, that's 180. 20 from MBS, that's 200. And then whatever, 10 points from the Jets, 210. Like that can win, right?
210 is a lot higher than the average score of a winning. I guess Millie Maker's different than like single entry and spy and stuff, but 210 is a lot of points. 210 is a lot of points.
Yeah, if we're just thinking like obviously and you know, I said like 20 points for some of these guys, like they could easily go for 30 or whatever.
Or two. They could also do that.
Yes, like Duvernay's floor and Pierce's floor is, and even Ayuk's floor, like Ayuk's floor is very low as well.
Yeah.
So I like that team quite a bit. Before we finish the DFS talk, tell the people some closing thoughts for the DFS slate that you want them to have in their brains as they build.
I mean, I think probably just figuring out how to like one, how popular the Bengals guys are going to be. I think that's pretty central. And then who ends up there, because there's always a third stack that ends up getting steamed that doesn't show up in a ton of content. Last weekend, it was the Brady doubles where Brady was like 12% and Godwin was owned and Evans was owned. So like figuring out who that grouping is, because obviously a lot of those third, fourth, fifth best stacks end up very similarly projected, but the ownerships are radically different. So I think figuring those spots out is really important.
I would tell people jam Mahomes and Kelce. He's going to get there this week. And I think the 2.5 line is wrong. The Chiefs should be favored by 5.5 or 6. I don't know. All right. Let's segue there for a little best ball talk to close out the show. We famously did thousands of drafters drafts this summer. We did a lot of best ball, you and I. How's best ball going for you, man? Let's talk through some things we got right, some things we got wrong, some players we're leaving a candle on for, either because they're injured or for whatever reason. And if you have any drafter sweats, I am interested in.
My best
what's your,
ball
what's your top drafters team?
Like 800th or something. It's a two I a have, doubles. It's a two a double stack.
I have one team who is 99th, but it has Rashad Penny and Cordarrelle Patterson, and Marquise Brown. So probably
I'm just looking at Underdog for the first time in weeks, and my top scoring team is a Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, Malik Willis team.
What's your top score? I got one on the top 500 leaderboard right now.
Oh, I'm not even close. Looks like 802. Oh, I got an 804. I got an 830. I mean, I don't even look at this stuff. What's the point, dude?
I'm on the first, like, I sweat best ball during the year. I think it, like, especially when you're losing in DFS, it's nice to look at. And it's fun,
yeah,
man.
But I'm
losing. It's fun to dream.
But I'm losing thousands and thousands of dollars in best ball right now, too, because the payouts are so up in
well, I wanted to say that, too, is like, don't sweat your advance rate, people, if you're under the field, because it only takes one bullet. This is my top team that's 99th. It's a Kelce Kittle team with Curtis Sanders. Like, the wide receivers are good. It's obviously got Diggs, and it's got Chubb, which is doing it. Quarterback is suspect, where it's just like Marcus Mariota carrying it. Rashad Penny's out. So I think this team will fall off.
But I mean, the biggest thing that I wish that I could take back is I don't think I have any Kenneth Walker, and it's looking like he might be required to win $2 million.
Definitely not required to win $2 million because they play the Jets week 17, and that's a good defense. Like, there's no guarantee he gets there. But something I did that was good there is I drafted a lot of Penny when their prices were the same. And then when Penny got expensive and Walker got cheap, I drafted Walker. So whatever, talk us through three things you got right, or three players you feel good to be exposed to, three players you wish you could take back, and any players you're holding a candle on, and then I'll do the same to close this
out. Okay. Well, Taysom, obviously, gigantic smash.
That was people go back and watch Davis's pod over the summer when I had COVID. I was first on the TakeCast. I touted Taysom there. You and I are both people mocked us. Overzet mocked. They're like, stop with this Taysom shit. And then eventually, Big Fantasy Football got on it with Evan Silva, and we made Taysom a thing, man. People give you the credit, but like, you know, they don't know where the birdies originated.
I drafted Ramondre even as he continued to get more expensive.
That feels good right now.
I felt pretty good about that.
I stopped as he got expensive.
And I do think that the Christian McCaffrey stuff, I mean, it does just show why he was a good first overall pick. I know he's like been terrible for his own standards, but like he is in the worst offense in football. They're running no plays. They're horrible. And he still is grinding out 19 a week. And he still, if they get better at all, he still has that crazy ceiling. So I feel good about that, about having no Jonathan Taylor, like 2% Jonathan Taylor and 18% McCaffrey. The guys I wish I could take back, I mean, Albert O, obviously, horrible.
I got him too. Look, it was a bet on athleticism, but time and time again.
It was a bet on the offense, and that's why my second guy is Hamler, who also awful. I mean,
but he was so cheap. Like, Hamler's not killing you. And he can
but I mean, that, those could have been Raheem Mostert teams. Those could have been just whatever. It's like I think your bad picks are bad picks, even if they don't totally kill you. And then, honestly, the Tyrion Davis Price one, I can't tell if it was horrible or if the fact that Jeff Wilson Jr. is already like a good weekly start or whatever, like. I guess good. That actually no, that probably
we got,
makes
we got
it
lucky
bad
he was
because,
hurt, you know.
Because like Jeff Wilson Jr. probably was always ahead, so it was probably all bad. Yes. The guys I'm leaving the light on for, I mean, Rashad White, probably the top handcuff in fantasy football at this point.
No one's mad about having him. I don't think.
I believe the Buccaneers. I believe they are the only team in the NFL at this point after 6 weeks who have only given a touch to two running backs. I think they are the only team. Sky, I'm leaving a light on for, because I think you just watch the Chiefs every game and you're like, dude, they just need anybody who can get open, because MVS can't get open, Juju can't get open, Hardman can get open, but it's 50-50 if he's going to catch it when he's wide open, you know. And let's see, I'll leave the light on for Elijah Moore too, because I just think he's good. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, I got a lot of bad picks in here. Jalen Tolbert, awful pick. Hardman, bad. I guess Rondale's okay. I mean, I just got a lot of bad picks that I have a lot of exposure to. I do have a lot of Garrett Wilson. But Elijah Moore, I just think is too good. And I just feel like at some point he is going to turn into a guy who can get 12.5 points a week or whatever.
For me, I would say something good that I did is I mostly faded the expensive players on bad offenses. I'm not talking like CMC, obviously.
Najee.
Even like him, like I faded Pitts mostly because I just thought it was less likely Pitts would bury me than some of the wide receivers that went next to him. I faded a lot of like Elijah Moore. I faded quite a bit of. I faded Terry McLaurin.
McLaurin, one of the easiest fades in my life.
Yeah, I faded. The running backs I took in the first round was pretty narrow, where it was mostly CMC, JT, Swift, and Saquon, and Aaron Jones, unfortunately. So he's hurting me. Other good thing is, maybe I should add a better answer. Like, I feel like I hit some of the later round picks where I have a lot of Curtis Samuel, which is looking like a good pick. Yeah, I just really was good. A believer in that talent. And most of my teams, I just built zero RB, where I thought it was pretty clear this year one or two things would happen with all of these good running backs hitting the age cliff, where either a bunch of the running backs would fail, so zero RB will smash, or one or two guys would go nuclear because everyone else fails, which we're kind of seeing with like Saquon. And I still think Swift is going to get there. Some guys I'm leaving the light on for. I still think Russell Gage has been injured, man. And
no, this is
like, what? I don't think Russell Gage will be a league winner by any means.
Grow up.
But
I mean, I'm leaving a light on for Eli Moore, so leave a light on for whoever you want.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm telling you, man. But Russell Gage, like, and I don't think we expected Godwin to be back so quick. Like, and he's like he's clearly the three over Julio. So, like, if you could have told, if you knew before the season he was like clearly the three, I still think he's injured. So, leaving a light on for Dawson Knox, he's been injured too. And I still think taking pieces on the Bills offense. Now, unfortunately, he has been blocking more in the red zone. Like, that's just kind of like a philosophical switch with Dable versus Dorsey. So maybe he won't. Like, he's not going to. Like, I think you should have been jamming the running backs there. Also leaving a light on for.
Don't you feel bad you got James Cook versus Singletary wrong?
Well, here's the thing is I drafted an equal amount of both of them.
Sure.
So like if like Cook doesn't feel great right now, but like just like I think like the thesis of Hamler, dude, like yes, he could have been better, but like Hamler could totally go for 101 week 17 and you're like ecstatic to have him. James Cook, like Singletary goes down. Zach Moss is not a thing. So James Cook is the two there. He catches passes. Like the thing is that the Bills just want a guy that can keep Josh Allen alive. So like James Cook could totally emerge late in the season, a la Rashad Penny from last year. I'm leaving a light on for James Cook, I'll say.
Sure.
Some things I got wrong.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, some things I got wrong. And I don't think this was wrong, but like Trey Lance was not wrong. He just got injured. Some things I got wrong.
Yeah, it's probably hard for you to think of something you got wrong.
Yeah, I know. This looks bad right now. Oh, Albert O, definitely. I would say I still like the Knox bet, but I should.
How about Dalton Schultz?
But that's injury. Like, I still believe that Dalton Schultz would have been what Dalton Schultz was, but I do agree.
No, they're just going to target Gallup and Lamb every down.
I think if Schultz is healthy, he will be fine. I'm leaving a light on for him. But I do think I shouldn't have taken as much of the mid tier tight ends in Schultz. Yeah,
Kittle and Waller are the ones that feel terrible to me.
Well, them too. Like, I took a lot of these guys and. I mean, that we see that thesis and Andrews and Kelsey, like, if you have a tight end that separates, you're crushing. So, yes, maybe the talent profile wasn't there for some of them. And also, it was just like, it hurts to not have the Rashad Pennies, the Kenneth Walkers, the running backs that are emerging there. Definitely a light on for Kadarius Toney, man. Like, that, like, I don't know if that's bad.
I can't, it's like yeah, it's like, of course I'm leaving the light on. Like, I don't want him to be locked out if he ever comes home, but... I'm never expecting him to come home. Like, I think he's going to be out getting that pack of cigarettes for the rest of my life.
Well, and the other thing is he's on a team that we were expecting was not going to pass that much.
Yeah.
And he's had it's totally predictable what's happened to him with these like injuries and shit and Brian Daboll being a hardo to him. But yeah, I don't know. Pretty decent advance rates. I played most of my action in the DK 555, so doing pretty good over there. Only need a bullet to win. And I built some unique teams over there where, like, just did some weird shit that I think is fine. I have some share. Like, I'm probably one of the only people to have, like, 10-plus shares of Deion Jackson. How I got on him was once the rosters were released, I looked at the Colts roster knowing that Hines would never be a workhorse. And if JT went down, I didn't know if Deion Jackson would be pure special teamer and they would sign someone off the street, which they did. But, or like I looked at his RAS profile, he's an athletic freak. So I was like, no one's drafting this dude. And I think that's sharp, especially in the huge fields. But I don't know, man. It's weird. We're already at week 7. So Also jamming Josh Allen. Like I think you notably said I would not feel good about that, which is feel the opposite. I feel good about that right now.
Would you rather have been jamming Jalen Hurts though? Given the price discrepancies?
I mean, if we're talking about underdog though, it's like yes and no. Like, do I have as much digs with Hurts teams? Maybe. But it's like AJ Brown, like, is still very talented, but he's not been smashing. And then it's really just like Josh Allen's gonna blow up on the Bengals. And Hurts is gonna do like Hurts is a lot too. Like, I got a lot. I did jam Hurts. I kind of regret I didn't chase Hurts up the board though. Like, I jammed him when he.
I actually regret that too.
And Kyler Murray, I'm leaving a light on too, because I thought like Hopkins could maybe fix the offense.
What if Hopkins
fucking Hollywood Brown, man?
What if Robbie Anderson is the key that unlocks the whole offense, bro?
That's the other thing I feel good about, is I always went Hollywood over Juju, and that was clearly.
I did not do that.
That was clearly right, but I'm just happy that Hollywood's not out for the year.
The year, yeah.
Yeah, like that feels good at least. And I think he's done enough that it's like conceivable that he's a higher advance rate player than Juju. Like, even once with him coming back week 14.
No.
He's given you 6 usable weeks. Right.
Okay,
now.
Juju's given you 2 usable weeks and can give you 6 more.
He could, but like he could
he could also just suck. You're right.
Yeah, like it's very, and I think the Chiefs, like I'm leaving a light on for Sky Moore too, but the Chiefs could totally go out and get Brandon Cooks, or maybe they do get OBJ or someone. And it's
I don't think they can afford Cooks, but they can afford OBJ.
No, I'm not concerned at all about Josh Allen in cold weather. He was drafted literally because that's where Buffalo plays, and the dude rushes the football. Like, aren't you concerned about Justin Fields turning the ball over 7 times to Josh Allen in the winter against the best defense in football? Yes, I do too. So they're going to just get so many opportunities. And the dude has the biggest arm in the league, so he can throw through cold weather. That's literally why Buffalo targeted him. It's my take there. But Davis, thanks so much for coming on. Tell the people what content you got coming down the pipe, where they can find all the great stuff you do. I always try to listen to the Gilcast. I don't even play cash. I just like listening to you guys tilt and talk.
I think that's most people's reaction. Yeah, we got Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast, The Takecast, Sports Grid TV. I'm on there from 11 to noon Central Time every day.
Peace out, guys. Good luck this weekend. Good luck to Davis and I as well. See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.